Good morning, WQBX audience. It's great to have you here with us on this wonderful Sunday morning. And it's our great honor to be able to take a few moments to be able to share with you some of the great things that are happening in Central Michigan. We're going to have a great few moments here with Pastor Ron Frederick from Porter Free Methodist Church, and he's got some great things to share with us. And so you'll want to stay tuned for all of today's broadcast. Wanted to let you know that we are on here every week at 9 a.m. on WQBX, and that if you somehow, if you're listening to this, maybe you're catching just this opening and then you've got to be somewhere, we want to let you know that it's all available online at our website, agchurchalphageorgechurch.net, and you can go there and look on our media section, and there's all the podcasts are on there, and so you can find those very, very easy, and we hope that you'll do that and listen. And don't ever feel like you can't drop us a line and let us know, an email through the website, or to let us know exactly how you're enjoying these broadcasts that we're doing. We have featured some awesome ministries in Central Michigan. Just last week, we were with Gratiot County Hope House, talking with Pastor Jake and Pastor Nate there about what God is doing there. And we've talked with Sue Stack, who's with who works with Love, Inc. So we've had a lot of great opportunity to talk with different ministries in our area. Pastor Lyle McCoon, who's a great man of God, who's at Wheeler Free Methodist. So we've got another Free Methodist with us today. And so I'm excited to have him here to be able to share. This is a friend of mine from the area here, a local colleague, Pastor Ron Frederick. Pastor Ron, go ahead and say hi to everybody today.
Good morning. It's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, awesome. So tell us a little bit about where you came from. Where have you been, and how did you end up here in Central Michigan?
I grew up in Flint, Michigan, east side of Flint, in an alcoholic, very abusive home.
Oh, wow.
Come to know the Lord when I was 16 by a pastor that led me to the Lord, and went to college. When I went to go to college, I couldn't read or write when I left high school.
Wow.
Didn't know a verb, an adjective. And when I went to go to college, say I wanted to go to college because God called me to be a pastor, my high school counselor told me that I was not college material.
Wow.
And I told her I needed to go, and she finally asked me why. I said, I'm going to be a pastor. She goes, well, you can make it then. But God led me to went to college and followed my thing, and I made a deal with God that if he wanted me to go to college, I wasn't going in debt. And my remarkable story is I left college and seminary and never had a penny of debt.
How about that?
And I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't have a sponsor or anything, but God just took care of me. And I pastored a couple of years as a youth pastor and planted a church in Edmond, Oklahoma. Was there 14 years. And
in Oklahoma?
Yeah, Edmond.
Edmond, Oklahoma. Where is that at exactly?
Just north of Oklahoma City.
Okay.
It was a small suburb, but now it's a huge city.
Okay.
I went back a couple of years ago for their 30th anniversary of the church.
Wow.
Shows you how old I'm getting.
Yeah.
And then I ended up in East Lansing for a church plant, a restart of a church plant there. And I've been here at Porter now for 20 years.
Okay. So. Wonderful. Yeah. And we were talking, you've probably been one of the longest tenured pastors there at that Porter.
Yes.
At Porter Free Methodist.
2 years ago, I had one pastor that was there for seven or eight years and went down to Wheeler and then came back up to our place another 6, 7, 8 years. So I'm now the longest pastor there.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit more about your story, but there's a pretty cool story with how that church got started, right? The Porter Free Methodist Church. How did you guys how did that church get out there? You just celebrated an anniversary there,
150
right?
years.
Yeah.
They had a guy that actually planted a couple churches, helped plant the Wheeler Church, helped plant the Porter Church. There used to be one in Coleman. There was in Sanford Meridian. Those two have kind of, over the years, have died away. But the Free Methodists used to plant churches in small communities. If you ever notice them, they're not in necessarily big, large cities as much, but
right.
Small communities.
So. That's awesome, man. So 150 years the church has been there.
Yep, 150, a couple years ago.
How about that? So now, when you went to college, you can't read, you're struggling with reading and writing, obviously.
Yeah.
How did that all work for you?
My freshman year, I took an English class. There was a teacher named Esther Maddox. She's passed now, but she, I was flunking her class. And she was also my speech teacher class. And she told me to drop the class because I was going to flunk.
Right.
But she worked with me on the side. And she says, I have two goals working with you. One is to help you to communicate, because that's what you're going to need to do as a pastor. And two, to get rid of your ghetto slang. I grew up inner city. And
right.
You just got a lot of ghetto slang you need to work on. And it was amazing. It's like when I first became a believer, I could hardly read. But when I read the Bible, it just came alive to me.
How about that?
And it just, doing studies of the Bible and things just became a natural thing for me when I became a believer. Couldn't read or write hardly at all, but I could do that stuff. And I'm a person who, if I hear something, I'll remember it and learn it. I'm a very audible, or if I'm doing it, but reading as a child, I couldn't. I used to get spanked in my fifth grade class because I didn't learn how to read.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I don't know how that motivated me, but it was supposed to.
It was supposed to. Obviously, it didn't work, right? Yeah, through those years. So, you know, our story is very similar. I was raised in the city as well. It's an amazing thing that God put us out in rural communities whenever we were raised, basically a whole different environment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the city life is definitely different than the rural life.
This is my first time in rural America.
Okay.
Never been in, I've been in suburbs or city churches. When I came out here, my kids joked there's more cows than people out here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Now, you have a big family, big group of kids?
Or? I have three kids, a son, they're about 35, and my daughter is about 30-some, and my youngest son turns 30 next week.
Yeah, and one of your sons is a doctor, correct?
Yes, the one in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, right. And then one's in ministry.
And one's
going into ministry, or is
graduating seminary in May, next month.
Okay. So, yeah, so you graduated from Asbury, you said, correct?
Asbury Seminary.
And that's where he's gone as well.
He graduates same place.
Yeah, you know, we saw a lot about what was happening in Asbury this last year. And I know your son was there, kind of saw some of that firsthand, right?
Well, he was back in this. He knew the guy that actually did the initial speaking.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting to hear his story, because he says he wasn't really prepared for anything, and he just went in and did it, and God just...
Something happened. Yeah, and Asbury has a history of that. Yeah, I mean, that's been really...
In the 70s, they had another awakening and revival there. And
that just happened. I mean, it wasn't like anything spectacular. Just somebody got up, and there was just massive repentance, right?
This one, the kids just stayed around after church, after the chapel service. They're required to go to, and they just kept praying, and it lasted a couple of weeks. And
wow.
They shut down for the first week. They shut down all classes for the rest of the week. And it's kind of neat. You can live in a community like that that just says, this is more important than other stuff in life.
You know, I appreciate that at Asbury, like even with the 70s and then with what happened here recently, that they discerned that, okay, we're done with that. You know, a lot of times people will try to keep things going forever until everybody's exhausted and worn out. We talked a little bit in our last ministerial meeting about the great move of God that happened in Alma, Michigan here, and how that they had built a huge tabernacle and right across from where the Church of God is there, and that all of these people that got saved and thousands, I mean, I never even knew this happened in Alma. And how that this great move of the Holy Spirit that happened, but then one day the evangelist stood up and said, we're done. Sent him back to churches and said, go back and make a difference in your churches. And it really does take a lot of character to do that, and not just be like, okay, how can we keep it going? What's the next latest, greatest thing we could come up with to keep these meetings alive?
That's the hardest thing in ministry, is being in tune with God, discerning what he's leading, what needs to change, what needs to go, those are hard decisions.
Yeah, they are. And you know, and I have to navigate them can be very difficult. The church isn't always very willing to look at change. I was teasing on Sunday a little bit about whenever, because I've been around this long enough that when we brought transparencies to the church, the worship service, and how that we weren't using hymn books at the time, and how people were just, oh my gosh. And then we started using slide projectors, and then we brought guitars into the sanctuary. Now it's all normal, right? And I remember Pastor Lee, our good friend at Countryside, when he was bringing transparencies into the church. And he gradually, but there were songs like Give Thanks and other songs that he just says, we don't have those in our hymn book. And so he had to transition, but it's just that resistance that's always there, that, but this is what we've always done. You know, this is the way we've always done. So I want to talk a little bit about Porter. You guys have church every Sunday at what times?
We have church at Sunday morning at 11, and then we have Sunday school at 10, but every morning at 10. And then we have like different things, youth groups and life groups that meet as well. But
okay.
The main worship service is 10, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning.
No midweek service?
We do a midweek. They used to call it prayer meeting. They used to call it Bible study. if you have any follow-on idea about the John Wesley groups that he used to have, our Wednesday night is more of a discipleship accountability time. We spend time in prayer, and we go through about three questions. What's God saying to you?
Yeah.
How are you open to that? And then we get into and how we can help each other. Then we get into the Word and study the Word for about 20, 30 minutes. But
yeah. You know, I love that about Wesley, and we've tried to adopt a couple part of that with our people is at the end of a sermon to ask we ask three questions. What's God saying to you? Two, what are you going to do about it? You know, and then how can we pray for you? How can we help you on your journey with the Lord? And it's funny to watch people because they typically don't listen to, I mean, the mentality of listening to a sermon isn't like, okay, is God saying something to me in this? It's like, well, he's saying something to John across the room, because I know John's got problems, but is God saying something to me here today?
We typically, at the end of our services, at the message end, we have a thing in the they have a outline form that they can follow. Some people like that, some people don't.
Yeah.
But at the bottom of it has what we call a next step, and it's also a communication card they can put in there. But the first next step is for people who are seekers or who don't know the Lord.
Right.
And so how can I apply this if I'm not a believer? The next one is, this is where I can do it if I am doing this, or what. The last one is about how can I be totally committed.
Yeah.
And so every week I have to come up with something that says, how does this apply, whether no matter where I'm at in life?
Right.
And the reality is most people know those things, but it just gives them a chance to market and communicate it to somebody else that, hey, God's speaking to me and leading me this way. Because we need help each other to do that.
I love it. I think it's great. I thought John Wesley did a great job of creating accountability within the church with people.
That's how they got the word Methodist, methodical.
Yeah, just being methodical, right? So if someone in our audience was thinking, you know what, I want to come to Porter, I want to check it out. Where is Porter Free Methodist at?
It's, if you're coming out of Breckenridge, you take McCullen Road, it'll come to an end after Redstone, and then it goes, circles around, and it's, at the end of that is Pine River, and around the corner of Pine River and Porter Road or 11 Mile, or it's got all kinds of different names out there. But so it's on that corner and it sits at an angle. And it's that building has been there for 50 years now.
Wow.
This year it's 50 years it's been there now.
Okay. And if someone were to come and to visit, what would it be like? What would that experience be like for them on a Sunday?
Well, when I first got there, the first thing I was told, get rid of the ties.
Okay.
So it's more,
really?
It's more casual, relaxed. It used to be more of a farm community.
Okay.
Since I've been there, we track people from all over the place, and it's, people have all varying types of lifestyle, casual dress. The worship, the music of the worship is a blended of contemporary and hymns.
Okay.
The preaching is pretty much biblically focused. I'll do an exegetical aspect of a certain passage.
Okay.
Sometimes we do a whole book, topical or whatever, but it's just we get into the Bible. And the people are pretty warm and friendly. the congregation's becoming younger. A lot of our people that grew up in the church, their kids, there's no work for them around here.
Right.
They've had to move away.
Right.
And so people that are moving in and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool. And I think it's, you've been sharing with me a little bit about how a lot of younger people are starting to come in to the ministry. So I was talking to my staff actually about it this morning at staff meeting. I said, you know, they're having a real, this is a real move of God. They had one young person came in, and then that young person started inviting their friends to come, and now they're coming.
Yeah. And they, and the amazing thing is, because they grew up in this area, they all know each other.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, that's one thing in a small community. Everybody knows each other, right? Yeah.
One was telling about a story about their bus rides when they were kids, and the father, oh, that's my son.
Oh. Wow. Well, that's great. Well, so we want to encourage you in the QBX audience that if you're looking for an awesome church, and actually, if you're listening to this and you want to go to church this morning, if you're out that direction, it's a great church to go to. And Pastor Ron's a great preacher. They have a great team of people there that love the Lord and would be glad to be a part of your spiritual journey to bless you and to be a part of your life, and at least to be able to go up and make sure you introduce yourself and say, yeah, I heard you on the radio, and I just wanted to check things out. One of the things we talked about a little bit, and it's really sort of the reason we're doing this broadcast, is because we really believe in raising the spiritual water level of our community, not just about, we believe our churches are important because they're our assignments. But we were talking about our ministerial a little bit and how that, you know, we just have a real attitude in our community and our gatherings that it's really about the kingdom of Christ. It's not about my kingdom or what we're trying to build. And I know you feel the same way, that we're all good friends. We all talk. We all laugh. We've had guys that cried. We've just had, you know, those kinds of breakthroughs. But it's such a cool, don't you find it to be such a great feeling of that you're not in competition with everyone else?
Yeah. In part of the history of Porter, about 20 years ago, 25 years ago or whatever, maybe longer than that, the Countryside Brethren Church burned down.
Okay.
And we had a joint shared. We would have Sunday school. They would have worship. We'd have Sunday school. We would have church, and they would have Sunday school. And for about a year and a half, 2 years, where they built the new building, and then they'd have joint services on Sunday nights and Wednesdays together. And those some of our senior people still know each other from that time of commitment.
How about that?
And the amazing thing is, Pastor Lee asked us, we never paid you guys a penny. I says, you don't owe us a penny.
Right. That's awesome.
But it's just the body of Christ, helping the body of Christ.
Yeah. You know, it was funny when I did my interview with Pastor Lyle and at Wheeler Free Methodist, and he had his first service that when they moved here was he came over here, and he and his wife did just to because there were people here that he knew because he's from around this, or his wife is from these parts.
Been there,
I think. Yeah. So anyways, then he was talking to some people in his congregation and they said, so how's the competition? And he said, and he told him, he said, we're not in competition with them. That's not what this is all about. And I thought that was such a, you know, he's a good fit for the community.
Yeah.
And has a real heart to reach out to people, especially the things that he's doing with their work in St. Louis and helping people. So I want to talk a little bit in our time left about, you got involved with doing ride-alongs. Yeah. Now, is that with the sheriff or the state patrol?
State police.
State police. Okay. And how did you get hooked up with that?
I first started doing it in Oklahoma. I had a guy that in our community, I was doing door-to-door stuff for a vacation Bible school. This guy was an officer and he'd been in a shooting. He'd killed somebody in the line of duty. He was struggling with it. And so we started talking, and he wasn't a believer, and he came to faith, and his family came to faith. They started coming. And so I started doing ride-alongs. They asked me down in Oklahoma City. And so I did ride-alongs and stuff with the police department there. And then my Zeese Lansing I did for 5 years. And I came up here. I never started doing it. And just through God's providence of connecting me with people, I was help at a bedside of somebody dying, and the guy was a state police chaplain, and he was a state police lieutenant at his post. And he says, "Hey, would you consider doing that?" And I said, "Okay." And so I said, "My son graduates from college or high college," and I says, "I got a paid job to put him through college." I says, "So let me when that ends, I'll do it." And so I've been doing it now for about 6.5, 7 years.
Okay.
With the Tri-City Post, Bay City, Midland, and Saginaw.
And what does that look like? What is a ride-along? What does that mean?
I do ride-alongs, and I also go to the post and support the people. You're in the car. You have to be in a vest, everything else. People don't realize that, maybe they do, but most people, when they see police officers, it's at a very difficult time in their life.
Right.
If you get pulled over, it's kind of a difficult time, but those are minors. And personally, you rarely see tickets from state police guys, unless you're extreme on one side or the other.
Sure.
But my job is to provide them just care. I don't preach at them. I don't talk at them. I just be there to talk, and they'll usually bring up different things, and to be a godly presence, and to, because the reality is those men and women encounter evil at a realm of reality that we don't see.
Not around here.
Yeah. Well, but I mean,
not in Midland. Come on, man.
Just in the last 6 months, we've had one of our troopers get shot.
Yeah.
And one of our troopers got killed, hit by a car and killed. So, I mean, their lives are on the line every day, but they do it with great integrity. And I know we have a culture that sometimes is wanted to fund everything, but the reality is, we need to lift these people up in prayer, because they have to make split decisions in moments that are hard. And they also see things, wrecks and things that they can never get out of their minds.
Right.
And so my job is to encourage them, to support them, and their families. If they get sick, I try to see them in the hospital or different things, but go to the post and just be a presence. That if they need something, they can talk to me. And so I do at least one or two ride-alongs a month, rotate between the daytime and nighttime stuff, and just so they know who I am, that if something happens, they can reach out to us. And it can be draining at times, but
yeah.
It's pretty...
Are you considered a chaplain then?
Yes, I'm a chaplain.
You are a chaplain.
Yeah, when I came in, it was actually sworn in, and we wore uniforms, but they don't do that anymore. Liabilities on some stuff.
Sure.
In the reality, I don't carry weapons or anything while I'm with us. I have a different type of shirt now, and I have a jacket that says chaplain, but the truth of it is people don't get, probably if they're going to do harm to an officer, they're not getting close enough to see that I have a cross on mine instead of a...
Right. Yeah. You know, I have a friend in Muskegon who actually, that's what he does as well. And you see the human side of what these soldiers, I mean, well, that's really, they're, you know, these people that, these officers, you see the human side of their lives that it's hard. There are very, very, it is a very, very difficult job.
Yeah. And they do 10-hour, most of them do 10-hour shifts. Which doesn't seem bad, but if you realize that 5 days in a row or whatever, how it works out, 5 straight days of that stuff, your body just is, you're coming home, you sleep, and then you spend time with your family. Your body never really gets a chance to rest or shut down for a while. They have lots of stress. And I know a lot of people have jobs that are stressful.
Sure.
And I think that's where the church is. We can help people understand there's a God that can give them some grace and strength.
Yeah, and prayer makes a big difference. One, that they know someone is praying for them, and two, that when you have those opportunities, yeah, to pray.
I'll have them call me. Some of the guys will call me and just or text me and say, "Hey, can you pray for me on this or this?" And sometimes we'll get together, talk. Sometimes we'll just do things. But it's just my job is, I've always viewed ministry as being a presence to people and offering light, truth, and hope to people.
Sure.
And so when we do that, I think our lives can preach a better message than our words sometimes.
Yeah. No, you and I talked a little bit about this before, at one of our ministerial meetings, that when the officer was killed in Midland, I think it was Midland.
It was just south of Saginaw.
Yes. Bridgeport. And you preached at that service.
Yeah, I did that first service, yeah.
Yeah, and that, and you said it was packed out, right? I mean,
yeah, that was the head Saginaw Valley State University gymnasium, and it was...
Wow. And
when you have a funeral for a patrol officer, police officer, there's a... The community of there will show up. I mean, there was almost across the state, state troopers were there, but law enforcement comes from out of state to fallen troopers and things like that. So it was and it's an amazing thing to see. We didn't see it as much on this one because there was a small cemetery. But if you see the processional and you see, in this case, the state police have that blue bubble on top of their car.
Right.
And you see 20 or 30 of those,
oh my goodness,
running down the road, and then yeah, you see this long processional. It's very gut-wrenching, and those are hard moments. That was a hard time. My heart still goes out for the family, Stephanie and her daughter. They got a lot to deal with. Dad's no longer there.
Yeah, yeah, very difficult. I had mentioned to you that just the honor that is provided. It's overwhelming to see that honor. It obviously doesn't fix anything. It doesn't heal the hurt, but the honor is just such a, my sister, when my brother-in-law was a firefighter and a fallen, he died. And I think at her, I did the funeral, and I believe at his service, at the welcoming thing the night before, that she shook hands for 3 hours straight of people that, you know, were firefighters, bringing respect. And then the next day they were all right back there. Take that casket, they carry it out, put it on the back of that fire truck. I mean, it just is just too much. I mean, you know, anybody that's ever seen that, it's just, yeah, it's overwhelming.
The military, state police is like a military mentality. So they have the honor salute with the rifles and they play bags,
taps
on, yeah, things. Those are, if you've ever been to one of those, it's just,
yeah,
very quieting and challenging. And so my encouragement, if you see a trooper or an officer, pray for him. Just let them, you know, you get a chance to let them know you pray for him, because they, not all of them know the Lord, but they just need to know that there's somebody out there that believes in them and trusts them.
Yeah, and cares about what's going on. So as we're wrapping up, I want to take you back to Flint, to east side of Flint.
Yeah.
This kid that's probably going 100 miles in the wrong, at 100 miles an hour, the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And obviously you were in some kind of a service or someone talked to you. What was it exactly that you heard that made a difference in your life at that time?
I became crippled when I was 13. Stopped walking. I had to learn to walk again. When I went back to start going back to school and stuff, the gang people that I was people I hung out with, they treated me different. I was crippled and things.
Right.
So I was trying to find my identity and stuff, and I was a very angry young man.
Yeah.
And I had just lots of anger and rage. I would have what they call emotional blackouts. My rage was so bad.
Wow.
When I go off on people in fights. But when I came to a new pastor came into our town, it was pre-Methodist pastor, and he was up there, and I actually beat up his kids when they came in, because they were new in the neighborhood.
Right.
That's what you did. And but I watched him have a friend of mine. He was new judo and stuff, and my friend went after him. And he put him down on the ground, and I was waiting for him to start pounding on him.
Yeah.
And he just began to talk to him about, you know, I you know, Jesus loves you, and I'm not going to allow this, but you just need to control yourself. And he talked the guy down, never hit him once.
Huh.
And I started becoming friends. They actually took me in for a couple of years, and
wow,
I lived with them, and they called me their son in the gospel. And as a matter of fact, I preached his sermon, his funeral, last year.
What an honor.
And so it just, God brought a family into my life that, even though they had two daughters, I had a son my age, they let me in the house. Cause one time I was in church and the pastor said to me, he says, "Do you know why the old people don't like being around you?" I said, "I really haven't noticed or thought about it. Why?" He goes, "Your vocabulary is horrible." I says, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You're using all the big swear words in the sanctuary."
Yeah.
I am. Yeah. But it was, I was oblivious to me.
Yeah, it was natural. That's the way you were raised, right? But,
they just continued to love me, welcome me, care for me, and discipled me. And I thank God that he brought somebody in my life to show me love.
Amen.
And I now have 40 years of ministry.
How about that? So. That's amazing. Well, Pastor Ron, thank you so much for coming on Unscripted and sharing your story a little bit with us. And we're very, very grateful to have you in the community. Amen. We want to thank you for being with us today. And we hope that this has in some way impacted your life. I want to encourage you, if you're looking for a great church, Porter Free Methodist is a great church. And to at least check them out. You can go there on Facebook and you can check them out there. And you can know more about their ministry if you're looking for information. But stop by and visit them. Check them out. Check out the message. Tell Pastor Ron hello. What a great, great story. And I just want to encourage you as we're going off the air, if you're battling anger, just like what you heard Pastor Ron talking about, maybe you've been in a pretty rough situation, grew up with an alcoholic father or just a home situation that was an absolute mess. I want you to know, we want you to know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can take away that pain. He really is. That he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and it's only by his stripes that we are healed. And I just want to invite you, look, if you want to make a decision in your life to say, Lord, I need help. I'm struggling. Be sure to reach out to us and let us know how we can be praying for you, because we want to. And I'll make sure to pass that on to Pastor Ron as well. All right. Till the next time we're together. God bless you. You have a great week this week, and we'll be back here. We won't see you, but we'll talk to you next week here on WQBX at 9 a.m. God bless.
How long was that?